Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we are going to get to your phone calls here on this Freedom Friday. If you got something you want to talk about, if you want to jump in on the conversation, stick with us here for just a few more minutes. And coming up around 9:20 or so, we'll open up the phone lines for you if you got something you want to talk about. Of course, 406-294-0970 is the number. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. But I had to reach out to a friend here to be our first caller on the phone lines for the show today, because there was a headline that caught my eye dealing with school safety, integrating veterans, integrating law enforcement into the school safety mix. And immediately when I saw this news, I said, hey, we got to get Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter back on the show with us. Sheriff, thanks so much for making it happen. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me on, Aaron. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to talk about this.
Yeah, well, what's the big news here first? And then we'll give our listeners the background in a few minutes after that.
H.R. 6120 was introduced to committee. It's a bill that is sponsored by Senator Sheehy here from Montana and Congressman Ryan Zinke. And it is the Strengthening Resources for Our Schools Act. And I am so excited about this. I've been talking about it all summer long. Reached out to the senator earlier this summer, and just like the true warrior that he is, he took it head on, super excited about it. And I'm just so grateful for him and Congressman Zinke, because, you know, I don't know why that protecting our kids in school has become political somehow. And it just takes a lot of courage for people to stand up and do the right thing for our kids.
Yeah, I remember you and I back in maybe August, September time frame. I had you on the show, and we talked about your what I called the no BS plan for school safety, and your plan to make every school in Cascade County safe. But back then you told me, hey, Aaron, there's something else I'm working on, but you got to keep this under your hat for a little bit here. And boom, that's why when I saw this press release from Senator Sheehy's office about this bill that he and Congressman Zinke are introducing, I said, oh, I think that's exactly what the sheriff was talking about.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, it's a challenging process to even get a bill at the federal level to get introduced, and I'm super, I'm humbled by it. I'm excited by it, and the way this bill is written, it is so perfectly written. It is a federal bill that is all about funding local law enforcement in a way that isn't a big tax. It's not a tax burden to the local governments. And it actually not only creates a solution, it empowers local law enforcement to have a solution.
Wow, I can't wait to hear more about it. Sheriff Slaughter, hold that thought. We'll talk more right after the break, plus get into the background of his school safety plan.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, so let me give, if I can, just a quick recap of how I interpret Sheriff Slaughter's school safety plan that he's implemented in Cascade County. Is, hey, why not have good guys with guns in the schools to stop bad guys with guns? And we're not just talking about sheriff's deputies that are visibly carrying guns, where it's obvious who the good guy with the gun is, because then you've just made that guy a target for the bad guy with a gun. You need a more covert plan than just that. But then on top of that, hey, why don't we integrate that plan in with locked doors and security cameras and an immediate notification plan so first responders can immediately respond? Hopefully I gave that a good summary. That's the plan that the sheriff has implemented in Cascade County. But Sheriff, this new legislation that is just now being introduced, boy, what an incredible enhancement to that plan.
Yeah, we got to have a force multiplier. As I said before the break, Protecting our kids and protecting our schools cannot be a political issue. It just has to be what we do in this country. I say it over and over. I'll say it again. We have to start valuing our children like we value our monetary things like money. We got to start protecting that infrastructure. It is our future. And this bill is so perfect because it not only gives local law enforcement a no-cost ability to be able to protect their schools, it also empowers them to protect their schools. And I think that's the most important thing we need to understand.
Well, and, you know, as we talk school safety, in fact, I think actually after the last time we had you on the show talking about your plan, I think we had callers and listeners email, call in, message us and say, hey, we've got so many veterans in Montana, over 100,000 veterans in this state. I've got to think we can put our veterans to work in this capacity. Or what about retired law enforcement that are here already? That's exactly what this legislation introduced by Senator Sheehy and Congressman Ryan Zinke would do.
100%, Aaron. And here's the beauty of it. What this bill does is it takes away the tax penalty on their pensions. So we've got military men and women that have gone overseas or stayed, you know, in the continental United States and served our country. And a lot of these veterans, the reason they retire and they get out of it, right, is they have families now, and their spouses are tired of the deployment schedule. They need to be home for their kids. And at some point, or like you said on the break, at some point you can't carry a 90-pound ruck and go on marches, right? But you can defend a school. You have got the skill set. You've got the mindset. Law enforcement, same thing. Why do people get out of law enforcement? Well, they don't get out of law enforcement because they don't have purpose anymore. We get our law enforcement because the shift work and the grind and all those things. We're talking about a job 180 days a year, holidays, weekends, summers, you know, basically are your time. And you still have purpose, and it's a step down in retirement, and you don't have to pay federal income tax on retirement. To most military law enforcement individuals, that's a 33% pay increase. And the beauty of this bill, one of my favorite parts of it, not only do we cover recruiting, because there are people out there that would totally do this job, we also got retention. Because if you stay for 10 years, you're now vested, and you don't have to pay federal income tax for the rest of your life.
Yeah, this is fascinating. So, yeah, because the key is how do you pay to get, you know, good guys with guns or good security guards, essentially, supporting our SROs and things like that, into schools all across America? And this seems like the best way to do it. Yeah, if you can go out there and tell, you know, military or law enforcement veterans, hey, we're going to give you a 33% pay increase, essentially, by exempting your federal taxes on your pension, on your retirement. I mean, I was pulling up, I had Grok pull up, what does a typical monthly retirement pay look like? So if you're an E7, and this may be right, may be wrong, you never know with AI, but just to give people an example, a retired E7, you know, might be making $4,000 a month. An O4, maybe $6,300 a month, all the way up to the higher-ranking guys with a retirement pay. You know, it could be $9,000 a month when it comes to that pension. Okay, now you take 33% of that is no longer you're paying taxes on that, and you're part of a good cause, you're part of a good mission. It sounds like a win-win all around.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing we need to remember is this, is that, you know, we have all these amazing, you know, warrior people that have purpose. And, you know, we see some of them, unfortunately, suffer when they stop serving. And, you know, and a lot of it, no one wants to admit this, but a lot of times it's the fact that they just lost their purpose. And what a great way. And for those listeners out there that are curious, you have to go through the full vetting background and requirements to be a full-time deputy sheriff. So you got to do the physical fitness, you got to take the written test, and you got to pass the psychological and medical exams. This isn't like a shortcut. You know, I hear people sometimes, oh, you're just going to grab some old retiree or some old veteran and just put them in there. No, they're vetted. You know, we're going to make sure that they're you know, mentally and physically fit and ready to do the job. And there's so many of these people. The other thing I like about this bill, too, is how many people do we see stay in the military or law enforcement too long? You know, we have a term called kind of retired on duty. And the reason they're staying is because they can't make the numbers in their retirement work, or they don't have a job that has purpose on the, you know, when they're done. And this job provides a lot of freedom. It also provides purpose. And with that increase in your tax penalty, your federal, losing your federal tax penalty and getting more money creates a huge incentive. And here's the great part.
Yeah, hold that thought so it makes the finances work as well. Hold that thought. Sheriff Slaughter, we'll come back to you after the break.
Has taken up going to the park to practice yoga. My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you want to jump in on the actually, he's on our studio line, so it might be a little bit of a challenge to do a little bit of a crosstalk back and forth. But if you want to, you know, throw a question or a comment to Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, just let us know. Let our producer know, and then I can always, you know, push the sheriff over to my cell phone, keep him on the phone line so that you can interact with him as well. But also, we are going to open up the phone lines here in just a couple of minutes. If you got something you want to talk about here on this Freedom Friday, it's Open Lines Friday here on Montana Talks. Just call this number, 406-294-0970. Sheriff, I just want to emphasize, and thanks for sticking around for a few more minutes here. I just want to emphasize your point that you made about identity and purpose. A lot of people may remember the book Purpose Driven Life that was really popular a while ago, but even, you know, retired Colonel Brian Gilman, who's a retired Marine Corps colonel, grew up in Butte, went to Tech. I think he played football for Tech. And then he ended up retiring as the MARSOC. Well, before he retired, he had served as the MARSOC, the Marine Special Operations Command Chief of Staff. And, of course, now he is the CEO of Warriors in Quiet Waters. But that is what he will tell folks about every day of the week is that, you know, for so many of our post-9/11 veterans or just veterans, period, or I would just say people in general, how many people, when they retire from their career, they lose a sense of identity, they lose a sense of purpose. And so they feel like they need to have this sense of purpose or this sense of identity. And so what you're talking about being a part of your school safety plan or another local school safety plan, identity and purpose are so key, are so huge for everybody, not just retired law enforcement and veterans.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, people have to start valuing that in our country. It's you know, and I look at it two ways, right? If we send a message to our children that they are so important that we recruit, hire, vet, retain the best people America has to offer to protect them. I mean, I am confident. I've already had phone calls. I've already had emails. The finest in law enforcement who have retired. The finest. There's guys who are former special operations guys that want to do this job. And all of a sudden now, you know, you got some tier one special operations guy, and he's the guy protecting your school. It does two things. It gives our kids purpose as well. Our kids start to feel valued in this country. They start to feel protected. They start to feel like they matter. And then in that giving, the school protectors, they start, you know, they get the same enjoyment out of it. They get the same purpose. You know, it's not when you're fighting for children, and I've worked internet crimes against children and fought for kids my entire life. And I'll tell you, there's no problem getting out of bed in the morning when you know that you're getting up to protect children. I mean, that is the biggest purpose life could ever give you.
Yeah, wow, that's incredibly powerful. Hey, Sheriff, I got a quick favor for you to ask of you.
Sure.
If you can, I'm going to hang up on you on the studio line. Can you give my cell phone a call? Because I've got a listener in the Flathead who wants to jump in on this topic in particular. So if you don't mind, I'm going to hang up on you on the studio line. You've got my cell phone. Call my cell phone, and then I'm going to get Rod in the Flathead on here with us. Finley Warden, great young man, filling in for our producer, Caden, this morning. He's going to send us our next caller. We've got Rod in the Flathead. And in the meantime, I've got the sheriff calling me here on my cell phone as well. Let me get him looped into the system here. Let's see, Sheriff. Okay, we'll just do it live. Live on air mic check. Okay, I got you, Sheriff. I think I got you in both ear pieces here.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, perfect. Well, let's go to Rod in the Flathead. Rod, thanks for calling in. What's your thoughts?
Well, Aaron, first I got a question for you guys, and then comment after that. And I guess it's integrated in with what Sheriff Slaughter's talking about, but it has more to do with the structure. And the question is, how many students every year in schools across the United States die in a fire?
God.
And why is that we don't? Because there's all this code set up that's integrated into the buildings that's written in both state and federal code on fire suppression in these buildings, and yet there's nothing on security. And this is part of the process that needs to be changed, is that this needs to be set up as federal and state code along the lines of what Sheriff Slaughter is talking about. You obviously need to have boots on the ground, but you also need to have every school needs to be, you know, retrofitted with proper security for this. And it's one of those things that I don't understand. We went through this with the Whitefish School District up here a number of years ago. And I ended up getting a little bit of a spat with the superintendent during a so-called cybersecurity meeting with the community, and pressed her hard on, you know, why isn't there actual real security? And after 6 months of meetings, the school board finally decided they would go ahead and integrate locking doors at the schools and basically set up vestibules that, you know, an individual is trying to enter the school through the front entrance has to be vetted first without ever entering the building. And so anyways, that's kind of my comment about,
wow,
you know, why don't we have some form of code set up for all these schools and just integrate it instead of having it, like Sheriff Slaughter has said, some kind of a political issue instead of just
that's just
a physical
brilliant
building
issue. That sounds
issue.
Brilliant. Rod, I got to ask you, what is your background, if you're okay sharing it over the airwaves? Because you're well-spoken, and what a brilliant point you just made. But sounds like you got an interesting background. Or are you just another smart, common-sense Montanan that just gets it?
There you go. That's pretty much it. I don't have any other qualifications or anything I can tell you other than I do have my wife does work at the school district here, and my kids went through the school district, and it was one of my frustrations about watching how security at schools, and it's not just here, it's all over the country. It's absolutely ridiculous. And one of the frustrating things that I went through with dealing with, you know, at the initial meeting at the school, you know, through the public, were the number of people that were just nearly lost it of the idea of even having any firearms at schools. You know, I mean, we're talking law enforcement that are trained for this, and yet they didn't want any of that going on. And going through the meetings that we had that I pretty much forced was no one wanted to have the buildings look like a prison. It was just ridiculous, but it's this whole mindset that for some reason it's okay for sheriff's departments, police departments to have these buildings that are set up with locking doors, bullet-resistant materials, all this for obvious reasons. Everybody's armed, and yet at our schools, there's nothing.
Great points. Wow. Rod, thanks for calling in. Sheriff Slaughter, your thoughts.
Well, a lot of it denial. You know, it'll never happen here. That old mindset, you know, it's not going to happen in our backyard. So first of all, that's a real thing. Apathy and omission is a real thing. People just sometimes have to come to grips with our reality of the world we live in. I will say this. I think security is best when it isn't overt. When security happens and people don't know it's there, I think that's when it's really effective. And one of the arguments I get, same our argument Rod get, is we don't want our schools to look like prisons. And I think when you think about it, though, where do we not see school shootings? When's the last time we see one, have seen one in, say, you know, inner city Los Angeles or New York City? Well, those kids come to school with see-through backpacks. They go through metal detectors when they go in their school. A lot of these inner schools, inner city schools, they do have a prison style. And you get a lot of these school board people and parents who are like, we don't want that in our school. And I'm like, okay, if you don't want that though, if you're gonna say, we're not gonna do that, we're not gonna do metal detectors and we're not gonna do that, then you gotta have the good guy who's trained and willing to fight with the gun in there. Because if you break down all that other external security, and the truth is, if you do it correctly, you can do it both. And I would say in my area of responsibility in Cascade County, most of our schools do both. Most of our schools have target hardening. Our newer schools that are being built, they're actually being built with both fire and an active shooter security methodology when they build newer schools. And then the other thing, it comes down to money. The several millions of dollars that sometimes we take to do that to all those schools. And I was really hoping the Trump administration, with their changing of the Department of Education, and when they freed all that funding, I was hoping that funding would go towards school safety. And maybe it will in the future. I don't know. But
or if it's block granted back to the states can decide to put it to school safety as well, instead of half the money going to D.C. bureaucrats in the swamp and not even back to schools and kids, which is, of course, another topic altogether. I also thought the fire code analogy was really interesting because, of course, Senator Tim Sheehy, who introduced this legislation, is not only a veteran, but he's also, you know, an aerial firefighter. And I listened to him on the Sean Ryan show give the history of firefighting, and it was just fascinating. But back to this legislation here about, you know, is, you know, I think about what you've done in Cascade County is effectively, just like you think about, you have a fire alarm to tell folks if there's a fire, you have set up an immediate notification system to let folks know if there is a threat. So it's almost like a fire alarm, but for all of the other threats combined. And we got about 1 minute to go, Sheriff.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I agree with that. One of the great things about Senator Sheehy's bill that I'm really proud of is it's local government has their own choice in how they want to do it. It provides a funding mechanism to make it happen, but it gives local government the control on how they envision that. And every community across our country is different, and I really like that. Federal government should be providing opportunities for states. The federal government should not be authoritarian and dictating how they do it, you know, too much. And I think that's where Senator Sheehy and Zinke really hit this bill, you know, spot on.
Well, and I think this is, you know, you hear about a lot of bills getting introduced and you look at it and it's like, okay, that's great. That's a great idea, but it ain't going to go anywhere. This is one of those bills where you're like, wow, this is great. And I could actually see this getting across the finish line. So it's absolutely huge. Sheriff Slaughter, thanks for all you do. Thanks for joining us here, especially with the last minute request, talking about this important topic and this important legislation just introduced here this week. Great to have you as always, Sheriff. Quick break. Your phone calls right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Animal health officials on the state and national level are continuing to track an outbreak of equine herpes virus myeloencephalopathy, or EHM, linked to the WPRA World Finals and Elite Barrel Race held in November 5th through the 9th in Waco, Texas. Confirmed EHM cases are tied to the event, with 2 cases in Texas, 2 in Oklahoma, and 3 in Louisiana. Those are all PCR confirmed. Now, the outbreak is caused by equine herpes virus 1, or EHV1, which can progress from a respiratory illness to a neurological condition known as EHM. Symptoms include fever, limb swelling, hind end weakness, and urine dribbling. Most effective horses recover 60 to 70%, in fact. but prompt veterinary care, monitoring, and isolation are essential. This event-related outbreak has already led to cancellations of multiple equine events across the nation. One of the nation's largest monthly horse sales has canceled an upcoming sale because of it. Due to the EVH1 situation, Billings Livestock Commission's November 22nd horse sale has been canceled. Organizers emphasize that the decision protects the health of horses and the integrity of their sale, and they express appreciation to consigners and buyers for their understanding and continued support. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, as promised, we've got the phone lines open for you on this Freedom Friday, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, let's jump right into the phone lines. We got Jason in Polson first up. Jason, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I just calling in from the beautiful Mission Valley this morning. And on the topic of the Commander-in-Chief and, you know, obeying an order that comes down from him, wanted to talk about where he gets his orders, where he's subject to direction from. And Romans 13, verse 1 and 2 tells us that. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Okay, God was instrumental in founding of this country, and the men, the founders who wrote the Constitution, used these scriptures, God's word, to write the laws of the land, okay? So anyone who requests, or any military member, law enforcement officer, any leader of a local government, okay, they're put in a position of leadership. They're subject to the higher powers of God. If they have an order that goes against that higher power, it's a mandatory duty of a true patriot to resist that order. Okay? All the military members have sworn an oath to that Constitution. We talk about patriots all the time, right? But we don't talk about the true patriots that go against a tyrannical government. So,
you know what, I
hats off to anybody. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that biblical analogy. Wow, so powerful. But then on the lighter side, I'll bet you, Jason Crow, that Democrat congressman from Colorado, Abigail Spanberger, Alyssa Slotkin, the rest of these seditionists, they would just bristle at what you just said right there. They would just bristle at the notion, at that very notion that you just shared with us. But yet here they are with this just insane video where they were basically, they were citing President Trump's efforts to defend America from this illegal alien invasion, and then they were basically encouraging troops and intelligence personnel to defy the Commander-in-Chief's orders. But yet when pressed, they couldn't mention one single unlawful order, could they?
You know, I didn't watch the video. I think that this message that I just shared with you is for all leaders on my side or whoever's side. It doesn't matter what party you affiliate with. The law still applies to everyone. And so I think it's important for citizens, American citizens, to understand where the authority comes from.
Well, and especially as, you know, we have seen all the way down to the ground level where sometimes even in local schools, they will try to force you to violate your own freedom of conscience and say things that you fundamentally disagree with or do things that you fundamentally disagree with and that go against your biblical beliefs. So, no, powerful message. Jason, thank you so much for the call. I've got several other callers on the phone lines wanting to sound off here as well, but I appreciate hearing from you, Jason. Thanks for listening in. And by the way, didn't the Mission Mountains look absolutely stunning on Wednesday? I was driving back to Kalispell from the Farm Bureau convention in Missoula, and man, the missions just popped. It was like they were right in front of your face with the snow on the peaks and the blue clear sky, and then the Flathead Lake was just like a mirror. It was absolutely incredible. Let's see. Go ahead and send us. I think we got Lucas Schubert, Representative Lucas Schubert, calling in from Kalispell. Representative Schubert, great to hear from you. What's on your mind on this Freedom Friday?
Just wanted to talk about a couple of things here. One is the Ukrainian peace plan that President Trump sent over to Zelensky and Putin. And, you know, it's something that both sides have some, you know, both sides of the conflict, they like some things about it, they don't like some things about it. But, you know, I think really when you look at what's in our interest, it really is just ending this war that in Eastern Europe that's distracting us, you know, from other theaters of conflict, be it the Americas, be it China, who realistically is, you know, one of the most powerful countries that actually poses a legitimate threat to the U.S. And, you know, I think President Trump's absolutely right. You know, some of the Ukraine people are being very upset right now about President Trump saying, listen, you know, if you don't accept this deal, saying to Zelensky, if you don't accept this deal, we're going to stop arms shipments. But I think fundamentally, you know, Ukraine isn't owed anything from the U.S., and I think President Trump's absolutely right. You know, I think that this peace deal, they really just need to accept it and get this war over with. But then also just wanted to talk about what we're doing at the state legislature in the state administration committee, interim committee. That's something that I'm on.
Yeah, first off, hold that thought for just a second, Representative Schubert. Yeah, I just want to real quickly say thanks for bringing up the Ukraine-Russia peace deal proposal, because I did see in the news that it's a 20-point plan that President Trump has put together, but I hadn't heard any breakdown of it yet. So it's great to hear your insight on, you know, what both sides appear to be saying thus far. Yeah, and then tell us, I know a lot of interim committee meeting action is taking place this week, especially in Missoula, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, yeah. Braxton Mitchell, he's on, I don't know what the committee is in particular, but I saw that he was down there in Missoula, and some of the other legislators, Amy Regeer. Like I said, I'm not on that committee. I'm on the state administration, so we deal with elections. And some of the two big things that we're working on in the interim here for that committee is working on getting potentially the primary moved up in the election cycle. We're looking at moving it back, or rather forward, a month in the election cycle so that Montana has more influence in the presidential election, in the primary, because right now, you know, the primary is typically over by the time that Montana's election comes into play, but we're looking at moving it forward a month, which makes it more likely that the primary, you know, coming up in 28, we have two primaries that are going to be open without incumbents in the 28 primary. So if that race is still going on, we could potentially have more influence in that race, as well as just increasing voter turnout.
Well, and I think it also gives more time for the general election, you know, face off as well, instead of having such a long primary season. And then it's so late in the game when you know who the candidates are, Republican or Democrat, in these bigger races. So that's very interesting. All right, Representative Lucas Schubert, thanks for calling in. I'd keep it going, but like I say, we got more callers on the line here. Let's see, Finley Warden, our guest producer today. Go ahead and send us Michael. I think Michael's in Bozeman, but it's our friend Michael, originally from Circle. I love how he always likes to remind us about how he originally came from Circle. Send us Michael. We'll get Michael on the phone lines, and then we got Ernie in Clyde Park. All right, here we go. Yeah, I think this is Michael on the phone lines right now. Michael, thanks for the call.
Hey, want to just give a shout out to the Circle volleyball team, who are Class C repeat champions. I know all the buzz right now is about the playoffs for football, but I remember all the other fall sports that are out there and what's due for them on recognition when you got repeat champions like the Circle Wildcat girls volleyball team.
That's awesome. Well, and the Shepherd girls had a big state championship win, I think, in Class B as well. I'll tell you, volleyball, you know, our daughter plays volleyball. That is one of my favorite sports. I just love the way the team always comes together and meets in the middle of the court after every play. And, you know, it doesn't matter what happened last play. If you screwed up, if you did great, you got to move on and focus on the next play. There's no time to sit and wallow in the past, right?
It's just a fast-moving game. It's just fascinating to watch.
Yeah, it's a great sport.
You know,
yeah. Are you going to go watch the Three Forks Manhattan Brawl there in your neck of the woods or make it to Cat Grizz?
We're definitely going to be trying to get tickets and different things like that, but it's just fun having the buzz about town. Both at high school and college level. It's just very great, especially talking with the sheriff about the need for recognizing students and their commitment to the community. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thanks for the shout-out there for the Circle Wildcats and the volleyball team. All right, Michael, great to hear from you. Man, we got some more great callers on the phone lines here. I got to check the messages on the Montana Talks app. Plus, I need to share. It's a quick audio clip here, but I need to share the audio of our good friend Russell Nimitz from the Western Ag Network rolling up the cattle markets at the Farm Bureau Convention earlier this week. I didn't get a chance to play that for you yesterday, so I need to do it today. Plus, I told you I would, so we gotta see it through.
Local.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to roll right into this one here because I told you we'd have it for you on the show today. I was live at the Montana Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula on Wednesday. Got to catch up with our good friend Russell Nimitz from the Western Ag Network. And we've got a full rundown on our Montana Talks website, you know, talking about the convention, some of the highlights and more. But here's Russell going through some of the numbers that stood out to him.
We have a little bit of some challenges, I guess, in the commodity sector for farmers. But, man, for the livestock producers, the cattle industry, the cattle rancher more specifically, record high markets. It's been quite a year, to say the least, for ranchers here in Big Sky Country.
It's always good to have good news because, you know, it seems like whenever you're talking to farmers and ranchers, I mean, they're managing so many different things. They're managing the land. They're managing commodities. And then they got every day life things going on like the rest of us. But so you're either getting too much rain or you're not getting enough rain. But yeah, I was talking with Casey Mott, the VP of the Farm Bureau, about an hour ago. I caught up with Gene Curry out of Valier, and they're both cattle ranchers, and so they've been very happy. They both said, hey, we ended up getting a great amount of moisture this year, high cattle prices, so they got fat calves and high prices.
That means Christmas is going to be really, really good. No, this cattle market, Aaron, I mean, gosh, I've been involved with it my whole life, you know. I mean, and just this week in Billings, J&L Livestock's Montana Female Bonanza Sale there at Public Auction Yards, nearly 4,000 head of bred heifers and young bred cows. I mean, averaging close to $5,000 a piece. You know, you think about that. Had some bred heifers down in Torrington, Wyoming this week bring, you know, 5,500. To put that in perspective, you know, when I was getting ready to graduate high school in the early 90s out of Chinook, Montana, we used to market a fair amount of commercial bred heifers, black and black baldy commercial heifers out of our ranch. And it was a huge payday back in those days to get $1,500. And you think about it now, fast forward 30 plus years, and we're getting, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. I mean, it's pretty incredible. But, you know, if you take inflationary aspects into it, it's probably exactly where it needs to be.
All right. And then when you look at those inflationary aspects, you know, how many calves do you have to sell to buy a pickup? today compared to the 1970s. I've got those numbers on our Montana Talks website. We went into it yesterday, so I won't go into it again. But, yeah, it very interesting info there from Russell Nimitz. One quick clarification. Valier did not get the water that Custer and Miles City got, but they got a little bit of it late. And it still sounded like it ended up being enough, at least thankfully, to folks like Gene Curry. Okay, Finley, go ahead and send us. Yeah, it looks like we've got Ernie in Clyde Park on the phone lines now. Ernie, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, Aaron. On school security, we haven't even talked about the non-lethal close quarters weapons like the burner.
Yeah, good point. There's all sorts of non-lethal weapons that can be included into the school safety mix. So you can have good guys with guns, or you could have good guys with a Berna, right? Yeah. I got to see one of those myself, and Frances in Big Fork even bought one after she fired one of the Bernas right after I did.
And I said you might be able to get the company to design it so that the user could use it electronically. I haven't seen one, but it sounds like that kind of design. You just, teachers might be wanting to carry that.
Yeah, or at least some other sort of non-lethal means if they're not trained or ready to be able to operate an actual gun itself. What other non-lethal mechanisms would they be comfortable with that they could integrate? No, that's a very good point, very good addition to the school safety discussion that we had earlier. Ernie, thanks for calling in. Let's see here. Before we run out of time, I'm going to try to get to at least another caller or two. But before we run out of time, I got to tell you here, especially as we're getting towards the end of the year, if you are looking for a deal, if you are looking for a discount, 15% off. In fact, he just came out with, it's got a new flavor. It's got a new taste to it. Now, I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's an energy drink combined with pain-relieving vitamins. I don't really care what it tastes like because I want a little bit of energy and I want the vitamins. So as long as it's good for me and gives me a boost, I don't really care what it tastes like. But it's got a new taste, and I actually like the taste. It's got this orangey flavor to it. I'm talking about Power Plus Pain Aid. That's the product created by a Big Fork, Montana Marine Corps veteran. If you go to drinkpowerplus.com, you can take 15% off your order. Drinkpowerplus.com, and you can take 15% off your order. Let me see. Do we have time? Can you send Ken in Billings to us? Maybe Ken in Billings will get the final word on the show here. Yeah, we've only got about maybe 30 seconds to go, unfortunately. But Ken and Billings, you get the final word. What's your final word this morning?
Okay, we talk about these low-life Democrats and these liberals and Antifa and all these other people. You know, this guy in the White House is trying to do the best thing he can do to help these people all over. But, you know, I don't care who you put in the White House. With all these kind of Democrats and these liberals, you could put Jesus Christ in the White House, and they'd still do the same damn thing to him what they did many, many years ago.
Oh, they'd be even more mad.
What are we talking about?
They would be even more mad if Jesus was in the White House. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's why they assassinated Charlie Kirk, was fundamentally had more to do with him being a Christian than being a conservative. This whole